Blog Talk Radio.
I wish none of this had happened.
So do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Was a big surprise. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, Gold and Yellow. Dave, I'll let you explain to the listeners who might be a little bit confused. Maybe you can explain a little bit. what happened yesterday, something of a historic context, I suppose, happened yesterday. Someone here, didn't it, Doug?
Yeah, good evening to you, Jeff, and good evening to everybody in the UK, and good afternoon to everybody in the United States of America, and hello to everyone around the planet and, of course, off Earth. Yes, yesterday, two things happened. This show is called Golden Yellow because the Yellow Vest movement decided to take some matters into their own hands in France yesterday, and Jeff will have a little bit of something to say about that. There wasn't a whole lot of coverage of it, but Jeff got some because he's Jeff and because he rules. And,
yeah.
Gold for a golden, you know. Now I didn't want to put this in the script, Jeff, because I didn't think he'd like it. But gold for a golden oldie. Yeah, it seems since Jeff turned 68. Yeah, Jeff turned 68 yesterday, and instead of the regular script, Jeff, would you mind if I read the script that I made in your honor?
Dave, yes, please. These days, I'm never sure what's going to happen from one minute to the next. It's live, ladies and gentlemen, it's live. I never know how Dave's going to do next. Dave, I leave it in your hands. Go ahead, brother.
All right, brother. Okay, now everybody, here we go. This is the script for today, anyway, just for today. Yesterday, Jeff, 68. His family and friends think he's great. He loves the UK, so call him today and make this a memorable date. Happy birthday, Jeff. No surrender ever.
Oh, Ed, you, Dave.
I'm going to conclude the script. I'm going to conclude the script with the way we normally do. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. That is by Edmund Burke. And, of course, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable by President John F. Kennedy. Jeff, man, hope you had a good birthday yesterday. And, you know, we're going to try and give. We've got a little bit of a celebration for you today. I've got you some nice slides in there. You know, I hope you like those.
Yes. Especially the cake. Dave, brilliant as usual. Yeah, as I say, yesterday, the only thing, I didn't have too much that I've been told, and I should have really checked my Facebook, because it seems a lot of people have been wishing me happy birthday. So after the show this evening, I'm going to be replying to these great people out there, my friends, my family, and everybody that knows me and knows me through the radio shows or knows me through the English Defence League radio show and or the organisation.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm going to say now, mate Nassim, thank you all so much for all the well wishes for my birthday yesterday. It's really appreciated. It's quite moving sometimes, Dave, when you realise how many people that care about you, and you know how you know you've interacted with people over the time, you know, since I've been a part of what I've been doing, and you know, so it's every year is. Like last year, I had so many well wishes, and I won't be surprised this evening. Except yesterday, I was a little bit. I thought I'd leave the, check everything. Thanking everybody for giving me send me the best wishes, and I'll be doing that a little bit later. And if I don't do it a little bit later, I will have a look. And then I'll reply to you all tomorrow. It's just yesterday, I was watching what was going on. Well, I was trying to see exactly what was going on in France. I didn't get too much feedback of it. I did see Danny Tomo a couple of times. He was mingled. Danny Tomo, the media, the citizen journalist media. Was on the ground yesterday, I know there's other people, but I was looking for RT. I didn't see too much of RT yesterday either, David. Although, really truthfully, I didn't dig too deep. I don't know how things turn out. I don't know. It seems that they tried to do as much as they possibly could. I think probably it was success, but I can't say 100% because I don't know. I don't know, really, Dave. But all praise to those that took part yesterday. You've got to get rid of Macron. Macron is he's got to be gone. There's no doubt about it. We all know it. I think he knows in his heart that people just don't like him. He's one of the power structures. He's what people despise. He's arrogant. And he just don't care about the people, apart from himself and his own little bubble of the elitists and the globalists. That's all he cares about. That's all they care about. And that's why you see so many thousands of people on the streets. And, you know, some people have been seriously hurt. This revolution, this, you know, they're trying to keep it, you know, as a peaceful thing. But look what's happening to them. These people, people are losing their eyes, they've lost their limbs, people have been shot in the head and killed. I don't know how many people, I think my last estimates I heard, Dave, and if I'm wrong, someone please call in and just to rectify, but the last I heard there was 12 people had lost their lives since the 30th or the 31st of these demonstrations. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll call it a revolution, whatever you want to call it. People are suffering, and so family members are losing family. But they're not giving up. What can you say to people that just goes there week after week after week? They're not giving in. They're not giving in to the tyranny. They're not giving in to the crap that's brought out there. And I salute everybody, because it's dangerous. These people going to shoot you. They want to kill you. But these people are brave and courageous, aren't they, Dave? I would say anybody goes into, you know, the circumstance, it's pretty precarious, isn't it, Dave? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, these people, a lot of them are unarmed. And look, you got them all tooled up, all the other side with guns, you know, tear gas, water cannons, you name it. And these people are just like me and you, be demonstrating just, you know, just in ordinary clothes. Some of them are a little bit savvied up. We've got a couple of crash helmets. Because they come crashing down on you. They crack your skulls. They kill you. You've seen it in your day. So one woman, she had the most horrendous wounds. A young woman, a pretty attractive woman. It shows you when they attack our own women that way, that they do not deserve to wear that position of whatever they call themselves, gendarmes or gendarme SS brigade, because that's what they should be bloody called, Dave. You know, to go along with Macron. You know, Macron's got, he doesn't care about it. I mean, he said that. When someone mentioned him, when the press mentioned, they should have been there. This is how he thinks about the people. To try and quell, to crush the people.
We know that the Yellowvestors at least managed to shut down part of the Paris Metro. We know that much. I think we'll get other things as trickling out of France as the week goes on. Now, for anybody in the States that doesn't know or remember or whatever, there was zero coverage of this from the UK news sources. I mean, nothing. It's almost as if nothing happened. The only coverage we've seen, I saw something from about a week ago this came from American news sources and from sources in the UK that said, oh, the Yellow Vestors are hanging up their vests. They're putting them back in their glove boxes. It's all over. This Yellow Vest stuff is all done. Guys, propaganda. Let me assure you, Exactly. Thank you, Jeff. Let me assure you, this is not over. The left just wants it to be over, so they're declaring it over. It ain't over, guys. It is not over, and it won't be over until Macron and people like him are gone. Yeah, exactly, Jeff. You know, until they're out of there, it's not going to be over. So, you know, I say,
it's too much.
God bless you guys.
If you don't mind, I just interject. It's too much bad blood being spilled on the streets. There's too many people being killed and murdered, should I say. You know, you just can't, we've achieved what we've achieved. No. You talk to the French people out there. They want to fight this to the bitter end, no matter what bloodshed is spilled, no matter if it's their own. You know, that's what I'm saying. That's what it takes, guts. You know, guts and courageousness, because when you're fighting against a tyrannic idiot like him, this is what you got to do. You've got to put yourself in danger. You know, at least you say, the people have died, the sacrifice, the people that have had their eyes lost, limbs being blown off.
Mm-hmm.
This sacrifice isn't for nothing. It can never be for nothing.
Correct. Well, and
I'm talking about us in the UK. Who one of our guys, Danny Tomo from CR News, went over there especially to be with you and to report of what was going on, because we've got a D notice over here. That means doesn't matter what goes on in France, doesn't matter about the bloodshed, doesn't matter about people being killed, they're not going to cover it. They're told to blanket ban it. You know, they warned all the newspapers, everybody, the media, keep stump. We don't talk about what goes on in France on that day. And that's what they've been doing for weeks. So if you wonder why nothing's been said about it, and you think it's going away, ladies and gentlemen, just be assured by us, by Dave, myself, and many others, that this is not over. Dave will let us know when Macron is gone, then you can say that the yellow jacket, the people that are putting their lives on the line week in, week out, then we'll say, yes, they won that victory, and now they can look forward. And then, you know, they can do what French people do. Hopefully they can get rid of some of this crap that's on their doorsteps, that what these people like Macron is invade his country, their country, should I say, not his country, their country. And you've seen the crap that's been going on in France. You've seen the terrorist attack. You've seen all this. Oh, we've all got mental issues. Yeah, of course they've got bloody mental issues, because they read the bloody Quran. That's why they've got mental issues. I'm sorry, Dave, I shouldn't be on one tonight.
Well,
I should be chilling out, really.
Jeff, you know, celebrate the old birthday and whatnot. But no, that's the real point. The real reason, and this is something else I've been seeing in the media. Once in a while, they'll pop up a story like this, again, to redirect people away from the truth. What are the yellow vest protests really about? Oh, I can tell you what they're really about. What's at the root of it is that their own government is allowing this invasion, this replacement of the people of France, with these Mohammedan migrants. I mean, the city of Marseille, one of the oldest cities, one of the oldest organized cities in Europe. It was originally settled, guys, by the Greeks when the Greeks still had an empire. That shows you how old Marseille is.
Yeah.
It is completely taken over now by the Mohammedans. It's lost. And that's got to make any loyal Frenchman angry to heights that we can't even think of. That one of their cities, one of their really marquee cities, a destination that any world traveler used to want to go to, just to say, you know what, I've been to Marseille, and all that culture that's there, that's gone now. And it has a lot to do with Macron and with all these people that are trying to bring in the people that don't care a thing about French culture or anything of that nature. All they know is here's free land, here's free welfare, here are free women for us to rape, and we're going to have everything our way, and if you don't like it, we're going to kick off and burn cars every night and all this kind of stuff and do everything we can to hurt your people. That's what the Yellow Vest movement is all about, and it really isn't going to be over until those situations are changed. And one of the first things to change, Jeff, just as you've been saying, is get Macron out of there. The guy is completely out of touch.
He's out of control. He's lost control of what's going on. The people totally despise him. Totally. They don't just despise him. They deplore him. They hate him because of what he's done.
Oh, yeah.
And because he doesn't care. He's not, you know, a lot of the French people are passionate and caring. He's showing the opposite. He's showing, and that is something else that really pisses off a French man and a French woman. Because France has always been that way, compassionate, caring. But when you've got someone who just doesn't care, who's been injured, that 73-year-old woman who was attacked, She shouldn't have been there. A 73-year-old lady. I can never get over what he said. No wonder they despise him.
This is the real reason that the French want him out.
No, he's deplorable because someone else used that.
This is a big reason they want him out.
Hung from Ali's gibbet somewhere. Then she dies. Say no more.
Yeah, a big reason that the French want him out of there. And it's by all means not the only reason. There are several. But a big reason they want him out of there is because he said in so many words, and you guys can look this up, that he doesn't consider himself a Frenchman. He considers himself a citizen of the EU. He's a citizen of the EU first and a Frenchman second. And I can tell you that does not sit well with anyone who is a patriot for their own country. To hear some guy go, I consider myself a citizen of the world first, and then I consider myself a citizen of wherever. No, that does not work for people. That, Jeff, I want to do something for you. I want to do this before we hit the break. Right? We're never not at work, guys. When it comes to the shows, Jeff's always looking at stuff. I'm always looking at stuff. And we always come up with things that just as we come across them and we think, and a little light bulb goes off, hey, you know, this might be a good thing for the show. And I just happened I think it was Friday, to be watching the old 1960 movie, The Alamo. And there's a part in that where John Wayne gives a little speech to one of the other characters. And I thought about it as he was giving that speech, and I thought, you know what, that's Jeff. That is a long life lived.
Oh, man.
Jeff has been here.
Over me. He's a huge man. I'm only a little man.
No, Jeff, it's in this context, man. Jeff's been here and there, and he's done this and that, you know, but he's found his calling in the EDL, in the defense of the people, and this made me think of it. And before you lefties go, well, John Wayne said some racist stuff back in the day. Look, even a stopped analog clock is right twice a day. If it's a 12-hour clock, if it's a 24-hour analog clock and stopped, it's right once a day. John Wayne was right about this, and he may not have written this for that movie, but you could tell that he had real conviction when he was saying this. Jeff, this reminded me of you. You mind if I play this? It's about a minute long, man.
Yes. Okay, Dave. You make me blush. Cheers, pal.
Okay, guys. This is what I heard. I believe it was on Friday. And this made me think of Jeff. Here we go.
It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere. Seems like you add up my life and I'd spend it all either stomping other men or, in some cases, getting stomped. Had me some money and had me some medals, but none of it seemed a lifetime worth the pain of the mother that bore me. It was like I was empty. Well, I'm not empty anymore. That's what's important, to feel useful in this old world, to hit a lick against what's wrong, or to say a word for what's right, even though You get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You got to do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
There you go, guys. Jeff, that's for you, man. That made me think of you when you gave that speech.
Well, yeah, I mean, you said that people put him down because he said some things in the past. You've got someone who's running as a Democrat, Joe Biden, said some very much racial things, more so than John Wayne ever did. And,
oh, of course, yeah.
He's still running. He's still making excuses for it, though.
Mm-hmm.
And he said some right racist things in the time, hasn't he, Dave? So how dare the left? They should look in their own closets before they start banging on about a great patriot who John Wayne was, who loved his country.
Oh, yeah.
And before they start, because this always they always try and put people down. Well, look at Joe Biden. Look who you got there. All racist, anti-Semite. And do you think that people are going to allow you to run their country? You can't even run your own closet, let alone run the country. My goodness me. They're totally hypocrites, aren't they, Dave? How dare
they are, Jeff.
Talk about someone. I like John Wayne. I like John Wayne a lot. He was a... seen so many of his films, the war films, the cowboy films. The Alamo was one of my favourites, Dave. I do remember that speech that he made on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was talking to the guy with the knife. Oh my God! It was
Jeff. He was talking to the female character, the love interest in that movie that, as far as we know, was never there. A woman named Flacca, he was talking to her before he sent her off. But Jeff, when I heard that speech, I thought of you, and in a sense, I thought of me as well, and I thought of all of us. And it's the same as when I put in that bit right at the start of the show with Gandalf. We don't ask to live in these times. The best thing that we can do is act as well as we can, and use the time that we have to its best effect. And I think that the John Wayne speech kind of closes the loop that I started with, the Gandalf thing. That reminds me of you, Jeff. It reminds me of a lot of people.
I just like John Wayne has said, it's not about me. It's never been about me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I did a radio show, I project my voice. But you know me. Guys, anybody who's been listening to these shows over here knows that I don't need no script. I don't need anything. I speak from my heart, the way I feel, what I've seen, and what's happened to my country. And I speak as a patriot. Whether people, it's a bad word now to be called patriot. I don't care. I'm a patriot. And you can label me what you like. I love my country. And if I was young enough and fit enough, I'd fight. And I would die for my country. But it's not about me. It's about the people out. It's about the kids out there. The ones that they don't want to talk about. Because they right up to their necks in all the crap that's been going on through the years. We know it's evil. Evil is running high across our nations. And we know it. And the truth of it is we've known it for a while, and we've always said that things will get worse before they get better. And what we're seeing
is just
the beginning of the way that it's going to turn out. But we've got confidence. Yeah. I've got confidence in the good people. In the end, it will work out all right. It's got to for the children. My grandchildren,
we've seen it, man.
I don't want to see them fighting wars. 20 years when I'm not around, I don't want my grandchildren to be on the streets having to fight for their survival. And not you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our time now. It's our time to defend our future generations and our great grandchildren. I don't want to see them on the street having to fight to survive and to fight and protect their homes and their neighbours and their friends. That's what I'm here for. That's what Dave's here for. That's why we stand here. I'm a 68-year-old man. I can't be on the street like I was. But I'm still a voice out there. And I want to give them all the foot soldiers, the angels, the patriots across the world. We stand as one. We are one. When we stand together, there's no one in this world we cannot defeat. And that's about the governments. That's about those ones that call themselves, oh, we come in peace. No, you don't come in peace. You was put here to destroy us, and it ain't going to happen. Not on our watch. Not on our watch. You'll go with your tails between your legs like you've done in the past. Take my word for it. You will never take control of this country or our nations. They will be coming together, and you will be on the wrong end of it, as usual. That's history for you. You should look at the history books. You should read the history. We're not people to give in to people like you, barbarians, because that's what you are. We're not going to give in to you just because you've got an appeasers out there, Dimitude going on. I never, ever will I give in to people like you, ever. Never. And I know my brothers and my sisters, patriots out there, will never give in to you. Or this spineless government, or anybody else that tries to invade this country and try to kill this country from within. Because it ain't going to happen. And that's a shout out to all you patriots. Don't ever, ever despair. I know some of you get down there, oh my God, but you know what we've got to go through. We've got to go through this crap. Look at Tommy. Take Tommy for one. Look at the shit he's had to go through, guys. He's still strong. He's still standing strong. He'll be in court in a couple of weeks' time or so. And I hope you can all be there. I hope you're going to be there. I hope you're going to surround the bloody building. Surround London. You know, this man's been wrongly judged by someone who's been told they want to put him away. God help them if they do. God help them. There's just, let's not go there, Dave. I don't want to push myself out too far there.
Right. But, it's understood.
Any savvy, have they got any brains, they'll realise how severe. The week before, or a week and a half before, we got a gathering next week in London of veterans who've been disrespected, ill-treated, and the government thinks that they can go on their merry way just doing this to our veterans. A 77-year-old man who's dying. They want to put him on trial. They want to put this man on trial who fought for his country. How dare they? Who the hell do they think they are? Do they have to go into these wars? Do they have to stand there watching their friends be killed? No, you sit there in your cosy little offices giving orders to these men, these brave, courageous men. How dare you? How dare you do that and let off those people that kill hundreds of people, hundreds of our soldiers? How dare you? Don't you think there's going to be a response? Listen to my words. There will be a response. More than you ever, you can't even dream of what will happen. Don't say too much, but you better listen to my words and listen to them, because you know what? You're not going to do this to our veterans. You're not going to do this to the patriots in this country. This is our country. I'm sorry, I really let some steam off there. At least have a cup of tea.
Well, hey, there you go, Jeff. Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta get some more water in the boiler there, man. You know, you blew up a lot of steam, but you are correct about that. I mean, the veterans out there, the ones who have served, they're just like they're just like the Davy Crockett in the Alamo movie in a way. You know, they've been there and they've done that. You know, and there comes a point for all of us where we have to decide whether we're going to be for right or for wrong. And Jeff, you're talking about the guys who want to put them on trial. We have them, Sadly, when you get a military system that can be bloated sometimes, and I have to say, as much of a freak as the guy was, Robert Heinlein wrote about this in a book called Starship Troopers. Book is 10 times better than the movie, people. I'll tell you that. Read the book, because it talks about a reorganization of the military where everybody fights. You know, instead of, okay, in the UK, Americans, my brothers and sisters in the US, in the UK, they have a medal they call the Order of the British Empire. Well, what Jeff is talking about, the guys who want to put this man on trial, you know, they actually deserve the Order of the Office Chair, okay? And we have the same thing going on in the Pentagon in the United States of America. People that have never heard a shot fired in anger who are out there daring to judge our veterans, our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, okay? It's the same thing going on in both countries, and it's disgusting because it comes down from these people who think that the military is the same as a Fortune 500 corporation. It's some kind of a test bed for social experimentation and all this garbage. Morale in our military forces has certainly in the UK has never, I'm sure, been lower than it is right now. It's probably about as low as it was in the U.S. when Obama was president. Okay, but you have to have leaders who have the guts and the determination to squeeze the water out of the military and get rid of about half at least of these office chair warmers that you have in places in the UK at the top of the military and in the Pentagon in the United States of America. The job of the military, you know, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, I'll keep saying it, is to train for and prosecute war. That's it. But what these people don't seem to understand is that a military force is not a police department, nor is it a collection of thugs that they give guns to. War is war, and you deal with it. Okay, and if these people have too much of a have too much of a girly man attitude towards waging warfare, then they need to find something else to do. And that goes for the UK and for the United States. It goes just as much for my country as it does for yours, Jeff. You know, I love our military. You know, people in my family, you know, have been in the military. You know, no officers, just private soldiers, and you know, the highest they got to. Yeah. In a lot of cases, was sergeant. Oh my God, sergeants run the military. It doesn't matter where you are, They're the ones that keep us safe, and they're the ones that deserve that respect. And yes, I say not only God bless the Yellow Vesters, but God bless those veterans that are going to gather. Jeff,
and they're not going away, guys. The whole thing about this,
no,
ladies and gentlemen,
don't
seem to understand.
Right.
Every black ox going on this. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, they're not going away. They're not going to do a demo and then just disperse and go home. They're staying. They're staying for as long as it takes. They mean it. They're going to come back. This is for real. And they're going to have the DFLA. We'll be joining them. Patriots across the country will join these men. You will not disrespect, because it all comes down to the Easter Friday agreement that what was going to happen. All these guys that was fighting against and killing our soldiers and killing citizens, and the RA was doing this and doing that, they got apology letters. Our guys had to stand trial. 77-year-old man, one man the other day, died. One of our veterans died. All this put upon him. He died. There's a 77-year-old man who's going through hell. he's got his body's packing up. His heart failure. He's got heart failure. They still want to stick him on trial in Northern Ireland. Do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? They want to put a terminally ill old gentleman on trial because they betrayed their military. They betrayed those men who had to go in all sorts of things, being spat on, having things lobbed at them, bricks, bombs, shooting at you. They did what they was ordered to do. And look what you're doing now. You're persecuting them because it's what the IRA said you had to do. So you got your peace. Well, you know you got your peace now because what you got, there was three men who sent their medals back. And guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, you might not know this, but they also received, I think, three to seven feathers, white feathers. You do know what that represents, ladies and gentlemen. A sign of cowardice in the face of the enemy. And they're proving themselves to be that. In the face of the enemy, cowardice. Tony Blair, you scumbag, you need to be swinging from the highest bloody branch in this country. Dare you. Disrespect our men, our fighting men. Old gentlemen. I'm sorry, David, I feel like my hair's a light, running around with my hair a light, mate. How dare they? It doesn't just upset me, it angers me. It really angers me to think what these guys did. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave, I just missed your post.
There's nothing. I'm asking there in the Skype, Jeff, if you want to call back in, brother, because the show's about half over. And I know, you may want to look at the time. I've got a tune for you.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, man, it's your birthday, so and plus it's your show. You can be on one if you want, man. But I do have a tune for you though that you suggested to play. If you want to call back in, we can roll that tune. It's about 3 minutes and a little over 3.5 minutes long. Yeah. And then we'll come back with the second half of the show. What do you think, man? All right. Okay, guys. Jeff's going to call back in. And what we're going to do, we're going to play a little bit of a tune here. This one here is something kind of special that Jeff found. He really did enjoy it. And since it's Jeff's birthday show, we're going to play this for him. And also because it's a good tune. I had to play him that Beatles, you say it's your birthday song at the start, of course, but this is another one that he likes, and it kind of goes along with what he's been talking about so far, guys. There you go. This is about 3.5 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show, and we are associated with SHR Media now. So there you go. And here you go, guys. 3.5 minutes long.
So
And there you go, folks. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Birthday Spider Mitchell.
what a great tune. If you see the, if you listen to the lyrics, ladies and gentlemen, you know, sing the song of angry men, I mean, that's what you got now, isn't it? This is angry people. Angry people is not going to give up. He's going to fight for the banner. You know, he's going to fight for the right. And basically that's why I wanted Dave to play, because, you know, this is where we are today. We've got to fight against tyranny. We've got to fight against the injustices. We've got to fight and give the voice to kids. Kids out there that have been totally disregarded. Totally disregarded. Pushed under the carpet. Not caring. So many children disappear every year. And a lot of them probably end up as a blood sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. And if you think I'm wrong, call me. Tell me I'm wrong. Because this is what happens. When you've got evil, so dark and evil out there, where do you think a lot of these kids turn up, eh? Seems like the old Muslims are doing a job with them and then passing them along to their masters so that they can abuse them. They can use them and dispose of them any way they care to, like they have done for many years. We're going to put up with this. We can't have this evil on our lanes. Someone's got to stand up and someone's got to fight for these kids and give them their voice. They need justice. And what about the blood that's been spilled? What about the blood that's been spilled by these children, babies even? Don't they get a voice? Aren't they listened to? Or is it too inconvenient for you, those in power? It's because you don't really care, do you? Lucifer is who you are.
It doesn't affect them directly, Jeff. That's why they don't care. Now,
no.
I have a story now. I have a story now, you know. Yeah, yeah. I have a story that I want us to get into, and I think you'll like it too. You know, in fact, we discussed it a bit. Now, guys, Jeff and I talked about this a little bit. This is Pride Month around the world. Now, neither Jeff nor I, and Jeff will confirm this, care if someone wants to be straight, gay, bisexual, trisexual, quadrasexual. They want to have 37 genders. You know, they want to make it with a bagel or an oak tree or a 1971 Dodge Charger. Okay, whatever. All right, that's fine. But as Jeff says, keep it away from our kids. Okay, keep it. You don't have to wave it like a flag all the time and then try and infiltrate it with our children. Now, Jeff, the story I've got, it came off of this site called the Russia Insider. Okay, now normally when I see sites like that, I go, yeah, okay, is this real or is this not real? But I do have an audio that confirms this. Okay, now the headline on this one, guys, if you want to go looking for this story, it's by Brian Brown, and it was published on the 20th of this month, all right? The headline on it is U.S. Embassy. This is what our U.S. Embassy is still doing, guys. We still have a lot of work to do from the Obama administration. U.S. Embassy pushing LGBT agenda on the country of Georgia. The people fight back. 97% say no to gay pride. Okay, now I'm going to go ahead, Jeff, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and play this. This, I think, is something you're going to find very interesting. It's about just under 6 minutes long. You ready for this, brother?
Yeah, go for it,
though. All right. Okay, guys, you're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. This is a report from CBN, from the Christian Broadcasting Network, which they did on the 19th of this month. So here you go, guys.
Now to the East European nation of Georgia, where pro-family groups are protesting plans by LGBTQI supporters to hold a parade event in the capital city this week. Georgia, one of the oldest Christian countries in the world, has been fighting an aggressive gay and lesbian agenda for years, largely funded by liberal groups in the United States and Europe. Scuffles broke out this week on the streets of Tbilisi, the capital, between those for and against the Pride event. The head of Georgia's Orthodox Church believes holding the Pride events will offend Georgia's largely Christian society, and he urged gay activists to call off their plans. Levan Basadze, a leading pro-life advocate, said his country will not accept a sexual lifestyle that runs contrary to Georgia's family traditions and Christian values.
We still have a very strong sense of virtue and sin. Sin is something to be ashamed of, and we will not allow normalization, glorification, and celebration of sin. This is not our way.
Joining me now from the capital city of Tbilisi is Levan Basadze. He's been playing a vital role in pushing back against the LGBTQ agenda in Georgia. Levan, thank you so much for coming on the show. You believe there are certain liberal groups, primarily in the United States, that are trying to erode Georgia's Christian heritage and values, right?
Hi, George. Yes, and I wish he was only in Georgia. I actually wish he wasn't in Georgia or anywhere else in the world, but we know that this is the ugly heritage from the last two decades, basically, of the liberal domination, which befell upon the world after the collapse, and thank God, collapse of the Marxism. And when we lived inside Soviet Union, we longed for the Western freedom. We looked at the United States as the shining city on the hill. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of private enterprise, and what a disappointment it has been. Little did we know that in that time, an erosion of basic fundamental Western American, if you'd like, values was on the way. And when we met, the picture was completely different. In this poor country where 1% of population lived below the poverty line when Soviet Union collapsed, now 10% of population live below that line, and we have halved in population from 6 million to 3 million, largely because of the unlimited liberal policies on abortion. UN has placed us on the list of endangered nations and languages, and basically we're being exterminated. Yes. And this looks like the last nail in our coffin.
Levan, LGBTQ activists say they will hold the Tbilisi Pride event even though they don't have permission from your country's Ministry of Internal Affairs. What's your reaction to this?
We're worried for them. Yesterday they had a huge interactive live on the main television channel, and people were asked, do you want the pride to be held, the so-called pride to be held? We don't understand what's there to be proud of. And 97% of people said no, and 3% said yes. And so we see a clear and present danger of violence. And because our fragile puppet state is under tremendous pressure by the likes of George Soros, the U.S. Embassy here, unfortunately, we said that if our government cannot protect these people, we will. And so we called on the conservative, what you call conservative, basically, you know, hardworking men, fathers of families. We said, let's go there. And if they still do it, and if our foolish police tries to hold some sort of a shield there, we're worried about they're trying. Basically, what their plot is to turn us into a mob, and we don't want to allow it. And so we said, we'll go in there with empty hands, white handkerchiefs on our hands, break through the police cordons and remove whoever is there before something terrible happens to them, including those foreign ambassadors, if they dare to do this, and just get them out of there, you know? And of course, because of that, we are the aggressors. We are the violent cannibals who cannot tolerate other kind. And you know, I think it comes down to a cultural depth, and I think it comes to the utter shallowness of globalists who think that everyone should be the same. They don't understand that cultures are fundamentally different, and if whatever norms Western societies, which we want to be friends with, have come to through their natural, organic evolution, cannot be you know, quantum leaps and imposed upon us, because we have our course of history, and there is nothing we can be taught about tolerance. I was meeting with the legendary Israeli president Shimon Peres once in Jerusalem, and I was shocked when he said, because everybody knows that Georgia is regarded as the only non-anti-Semitic country in the history of the world. Jews have lived here for 2,600 years.
Levon, I'm sorry, I'm going to, we've run out of time. I'm going to have to leave it there. We will continue to follow the story. Levon Vazadze is talking to us from the capital city of Georgia, Tbilisi. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
There you go, guys. This is, yeah. Go ahead, brother. Take a bite out of it.
I think it just sums it up. You know, they call themselves a pride, don't they? They say this is pride. How is it a pride? I thought it was lions that had a pride. You know, with the lionesses.
Yeah.
What they class themselves as, lionesses or something? Pride. What's pride about it? Why don't they just change the name to something that's got nothing to do with pride? Because this is it. This is humiliating. This is. I don't know, guys. I don't know. I don't know what to call it.
you know what, brother? You and I had this discussion.
I don't know.
Yeah, depravity. That's a good one. But yeah, you know, we had this discussion. And look, you know, there's. You know, the guy talked about the culture of death. Very interesting way he said it, because if you look at Mohammedan men, almost none of them are buying into either mass abortions or this gay pride stuff. They're still manly men. They're still keeping their manliness. Now, we may object to how they project that manliness onto everybody else, but they're not backing off from being men. Okay, Mohammedan men are still men. They may, again, we may not approve of what they do.
But they're still men. You've got gays amongst the Muslims, aren't you? I think there's not, because
there
are.
No, there are gays. Well, there are gays among them, Jeff, but you see what they do to them. There's no, that you know, there's none of this gay pride among among the quote-unquote culture of Islam, and yet you see that being pushed on us as people in both of our countries. You know, in the UK you see it. You also see it. I mean, my God, in the UK you see, you know, gays for Muslims or gays for Islam, which, you know, it's just crazy. In the United States,
can you believe
you see these freak jobs out there, twerking on top of police cars, you know, because they have, you know, 39. Genders. I mean, my God. Okay, look, you should never be. God made people the way He made them. Okay, and who you are and what you do is between you and God, and that's fine. Okay, but don't wave it around like a flag. And as I said to start this off, and Jeff, I know you agree with this. Keep it away from our kids. Let our kids grow up and then make their own decisions about what they want to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I'm just going to summarize in this. In the beginning, the Creator created man. Then, after a little while, he thought Adam needed a mate. He needed something to procreate, whatever the word is today. So
he took
a rib and he made Eve. Now, I can't remember in the Bible if it said he also took another bone and made a gender person. No, it doesn't say that, ladies and gentlemen. It was man and woman, just a man and a woman. That's it. No gender thing, nothing like that, transgender, nothing, man and woman. But they seem to think that they've created their own thing. It's what they're allowed to do, and that everything's good and honky-dory. Well, it's not. It's not. It can never be right. You know, I mean, in the Bible, it doesn't matter what these vicars and all that say. Oh, well, I'm sure that God is a sin. What they do is a sin, And it says in the Bible so many times it's a sin. No matter if you try and talk your way around it with your gay clergy, this, that, and the other, you're all in sin. You know, whatever you're doing,
well,
yeah, it's against God's law.
Well, that's it.
He told
and there's
you,
other
it's
aspect
against
of it,
his law.
Yeah.
You will go to hell for it.
There's
and
the
they think that they can get around that, that God would. No, he's not even looking at you. You already condemned yourselves,
yeah,
you know. I'm sorry to say that, but if you believe in the Bible, you believe in the teachings, you're condemned. Don't matter if you
there's
run over your hair with light and say, I'm going to stamp my feet and God's going to let me. No. No. It's been written. It's been written.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be
right,
your way. Sorry, Dave, I apologize.
No, it's good. It's good.
Get
cool,
a lot
man.
Of
it's cool. No, no, no,
you
no.
Do
you're right.
Realize that, buddy. You do.
Oh, yeah, of course. But my point, and I think our point for doing the whole thing is that men, you know, non-Islamic men are going to have to be men, okay? They're going to have to be ready to step up. And that means that they're not going to have to dress like an alien or like pajama boy in the old Obamacare ad and act like women and you know weaken themselves and things like that. What we need, especially among young men, is men who are ready to be strong and to face trouble and to face up to their responsibilities as husbands and fathers and that sort of thing and rebuild the families that things like Pride Month are trying to destroy. That's what's at the end of it, Jeff. They want to destroy the non-Muslim family. And you know when a power vacuum like that happens, you know who's going to come in and sweep in and take control, and it's going to be the Mohammedans, and it's going to be to the detriment of all of these people out there who are doing all this Pride nonsense this month. Now, Jeff, I think we have time for one more story here. This is an interesting one, brother. I'm going to switch us over a little bit, man. We've got time for this here, and I think this is good. Jeff, now you're a fan of the Beatles. we had the Beatles when we opened up the show. All right. Well, there's always a next generation, isn't there, Jeff? Okay. And I found this off of Summit News. Actually, it came off of Gab. People, Gab is awesome. You should go to Gab. There are some a-holes there. There's some anti-Semites and things like that. But there are also some really good people. And I found this off Gab, brother. This here comes off of Summit News, all right? And this isn't one of his videos, but this is by Paul Watson. He published it on the 21st, okay, a couple of days ago. And this is fascinating. John Lennon's son slams pathetic political correctness, okay? And by the way, if you look at this guy's picture, he kind of looks like his father a little bit. But, you know, go to Summit News. You can check this out. Yeah, okay, so here we go. But this is Sean. Sean Ono Lennon slammed political correctness as pathetic, pointing out how many people are offended by comedy and science. When I was young, the most interesting people were left-wing intellectuals, believe it or not, Lennon tweeted. Writer and director Paul Duane, I guess that's the guy's name, D-U-A-N-E, responded by claiming, "We still are the most interesting." No, we've become... Now this is the bit here, guys. As I scroll down, this is a bit here, guys, where you know John Lennon's son takes this guy to school. Okay, no, we've become the church lady, as person below says, it's embarrassing. We're offended by comedy and science. It's pathetic, responded Lennon. He subsequently explained that the Overton window has moved so far left that in the future, current left-wing intellectuals will be considered right, because they are at all right of Che Guevara. Okay, so this guy really begins to take this other guy to school, because again, he's grown up through all this stuff, guys. Okay, here we go. There's a little more. In another conversation, Lenin illustrated the intellectual bankruptcy of progressivism by pointing out the upside to cultural collapse is how easy it is to spot intelligence against a backdrop of intellectual entropy. Sean Ono Lennon follows in the footsteps of his legendary father in being a true free thinker who isn't afraid to speak his mind, despite this possibility impacting his music career, even that the industry, that the industry is heavily left-wing and unforgiving towards anyone who questions the sacred cows of progressivism. And one more here, a little bit, guys. He was previously targeted by the quote-unquote woke outrage mob in 2016 when he asserted the term mansplaining is sexist. All right, and that's it. That's it, Jeff. That's the article. It's a short one. So what do you think about that?
Well, I'm not surprised that excuse me, I said Julian. I don't know why I said Julian, but I know it's Sean. But because also he did, for a little while, he made a few tunes, didn't he, down the line, not quite as famous as his father, but there's only one John Lennon, isn't there? But he did
of
try.
Course, yeah.
But he's thinking, my goodness me, you put him beside his father. Those are like words that are coming out of his father's mouth. I'll be honest with you, David. When you say that, my goodness me, that'd be John saying something like that. John would say that.
You really believe, Jeff? Hold up, man, hold up. Now, wait a minute. I normally don't want to interrupt you, but, you know, I got to ask this. Do you really think today that John Lennon would have said what his son did?
Yes. Quite obvious that times have changed. I mean, and John would have been a hell of a lot older now, but he would. Definitely. When Sean was talking, it was almost like listening to John. They were very much alike in their way of thinking and the way that he is and the way that his father was. You know, he was very proud of his father. And I think his father, he was watching down, and he would be going, nice one, my son, well said, well said. Because I would have said the same thing. So I do believe that John would have echoed exactly what Sean said, you know, knowing what he was like. Pretty free thinker in himself, wasn't he? You know, a revolution,
yeah.
I suppose, at that time, you know. I mean, this is it. You make a lot of enemies with that type of thinking. But at the same time, everybody got their own thoughts. But back in the day, that was more allowed than it is now. I mean, now it's just crazy. But I really appreciate what you did there with Sean. I said, we almost like listening to John say them words, you know. So if you're listening in, Sean, you are like your father. Your father will be proud of you, mate. Proud of you. Well done.
There you go. There you go, man. Yeah, and it really is the truth, Jeff. I'll tell this story again. On Facebook, when I still had an account and hadn't been banned for my views, which is going on now with all of us, I had a lady on there who really liked my stuff, but she is in a band. Can't say who she is, can't say the band that she's in, but she really did like my Unpleasant Blind Guy shows. But she said, you know what, I love your stuff, I agree with you, but I can't repost it. I can't make it known that I'm in agreement with you, because I won't get any gigs if I let that be known. And that's terrible, Jeff.
It's sad,
that right there
it?
Shows
it's
you.
It's sad, Dave,
it
when
is,
that happens,
is.
When
yeah,
you can't,
yeah.
you can't say nothing because it just you doom you. What happens is you, whatever thing you've got in life, it's going to doom that because of the regressive ones. They're not progressive; they are regressive. I'm going to stick to that because that's what they are. They're nothing about going forward. These are going backwards. This is regression, isn't it, Dave? Please continue, buddy.
Well, really, Jeff, this is, I find this fascinating, especially given, John Lennon's son didn't grow up a conservative, that's for sure. But at least he has the moral courage to see people's voices being silenced and to step up to it and say, no, this is wrong. Now, he may not have been speaking specifically to people from the EDL and people like me who support the EDL and people on the right having their accounts closed down and being frozen out of social media, places like Facebook and Googly and YouTube and all of that. But he did understand that free expression is the only way. If you don't want to hear what someone is saying, if it offends you or something, you have easy ways not to hear it. And no, it doesn't mean going out and finding them and hurting them. It means, clicking on, a couple of times on a thing and saying block this user. That's all you have to do now. Okay. But
yeah,
the left doesn't
any of that. When we say about other groups, this, that, and the other, I would like to put that what Sean said was an individuality way that he was looking at it. He wasn't looking at it in a, with the right, the left, but he was looking at it in the way that he sees it. Because everybody sees things a little bit different, especially with Sean, his upbringing, this, that, and the other. So I think his own views, individuality. He just said the way he felt. Even though he'll get condemned for what he said, it's quite obvious by the regressive ones out there, because they don't believe in individuality of people expressing their views these days. They want to shut that down. Freedom of speech, freedom to be able to speak anything, and to be freely criticised if you do, without having people trying to shut you down for what you said. That's what freedom of speech is all about, freedom of expression, etc. But well done to Sean again.
Yeah, well done to him. And you know what, Jeff? What you said there about individuality, that definitely strikes a chord. One of the videos that Soph, this 14-year-old satirist that we played on this show, in one of them, she says that someone she knows, it's about her age more or less, who's still in school in the United States, I'm assuming, in the United States of America, was told that there's no such thing as the individual. Their school, I'm assuming a teacher was.
They're all collective thinking, isn't it, Dave? Like the Borg. Excuse me, sorry,
Dave. No, you're right, man. Just like the Borg, this teacher, and one assumes with the backing of the school, had the copper-bound nerve to tell this kid that there's no such thing as the individual. And that should frighten everyone to their very core, that there are some people who think that we're not ants, we're not bees, we're men and women, we're human beings, and we must retain our individuality,
Dave.
Because
individuals.
Yeah, there you are. Yeah.
Whether they like it or not, we're not a collective. We're always going to think different from one another. That's what makes us individuals. That's what makes conversation more interesting when you've got individuals. Like myself and Dave, we think alike, but we've got our individual way of thinking and looking at things. How can you take away individuality and say, no, we're a collective? Then this is just about brainwashing a whole society. It's not going to happen.
I
hope that people who's listening to this today will try to think separately about that teacher, where that teacher is, you need to remove your children out of sight. Maybe do home teaching. Maybe you can teach your children yourself better than these Muppets, what they got there, these Marxist scumbags. Bring the children up the way you know that you was brought up. Don't let them be brought up by the way the system wants them to be, because this is a Marxist outlook of things. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm always controversial. I always will be controversial. And I don't. And all you lefties out there, jog on. See my, I've got my middle finger up. Spin on that. Spin on that. Don't like it?
Well, you know what, Jeff?
If you can.
Yeah, in the United States, you've got two things. You've got homeschooling, and you've got another concept that that my brother's granddaughter, I think granddaughter or grandniece, one of them, anyway, went to. Before she went to this lady's, this lady had about 10 or so students that she was teaching, all right, just you know, with homeschooling materials. Now, before this kid went there, she was in public schools making F's, flunking out, failing all over the place. She goes to this lady's schoolroom that isn't this snake pit of culture warrior BS, and she comes out making A's and B's, man. That ought to tell you everything you need to know. School is for learning, not for brainwashing, and it is not for losing your individuality. As long as we have individuals, Jeff, you know what, brother? We are going to the stars. It is individuals that will help us get to the stars.
Those words, I was thinking very similar to you, and you said that I would have loved to have said, that is right. Individual, we'll be shooting for the stars, as I've said on the previous show before. That's our destiny. Yeah. We're not going to be stuck in some time warp like these regressive ones and these people out there who think they're stuck in the 6th century. No, we want to move forward. We love to be idealistic. There's another word for you lefties. There, I'll look it up. Idealistic. There you go. That's who we are, myself, Dave, and there's millions of us, millions, who are idealistic. We want to see these things come to pass.
That's it, man.
You know, and if you don't like it, go to another planet or something. You know, find another planet. That needs you. Just before
well,
we end
up, your final
shout for the night, where they can find you. Say that I heard this week, and it made me feel really good about Mr. Robinson. You know what Tommy said this week? He was doing an interview, and he was sitting there, and he said, we were talking about things, someone's talking about ego. He said, one thing I've got to do is, I've got to say, is an apology to the EDL. He said, when I left the EDL, and he said, I've got to tell you now, there's things that were said, that wasn't the truth. The thing is, I had to leave my family, which I told you, Dave, his family had friends.
We always suspected.
And as he said, when he left, there was a Nazi sort of element that was creeping in. He said, I've looked at the EDL, and I can say that their core value has been kept to what I wanted it to be. And he said, I want to apologise to the EDL. So, Tommy, we really, really appreciate what you said there, brother. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
With what you do. You know, there's a lot of us that's always been behind you. And I knew one day that you would say that, Tom. You know, I know you, I know your heart. And I know you love the EDL. I know you always will. And I appreciate it. And so I would say on behalf of everybody, and everybody knows you, they love you and they care about you, Tom. You know that. And we do appreciate you actually apologising about what you said. That will put a lot of people that was, you know, animosity towards you, they can put that to rest and they can follow you as the great man you are. And there's nothing better than a great man to actually put his hands up and say, look, guys, I see what the ETL's doing. These good people. And I appreciate it. I was quite moved what you said there. Mr. Robinson, you truly are a man of the people. God bless you, what you do and everything you say. And we do hope and pray that you'll go to that court and you'll walk out of that court that day, because this is injustice. But Dave, I just want to let you know that
wow,
what Tommy said, and I was quite moved by it. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for all which you do.
Yeah.
You are definitely
Amen.
A man of the people. Good, Dave, I'm going to pass it back to you because I know the time's really running down
yeah.
for this evening.
Well, Jeff, what a blockbuster way to end the show, man. Beautiful. I had not seen that interview. If we can find it, if we can find the audio for that, we'll play it on here, because, we've always suspected this. We've always suspected that Tommy Robinson left,
well,
and it was because his family was being threatened. We always suspected it, but here's the thing, we've said this before, comes the time, comes the man. People like Washington, Lincoln, Churchill, and I include Tommy Robinson in there without any shame, because he is a man of the people. And Tommy Robinson, if somebody gets this to you, God bless you, and God, grant his protection to you and your family and all of those close
Amen.
To you. And to that, Jeff, again, great way to end the show, brother. There's a reason why you're the captain of this ship. There's a reason why you're our captain.
Well, I just needed to say, and I think I might have it on one of the, I saved it somewhere, but there were so many others, a couple of people, but he'd done a couple of interviews, and that one, it made me, because he said, I've got to stop you there, I've got to let you know. And then he continues with what I told you, Dave. And, he put his hands in and said, look, I apologise. That was wrong. I didn't think that there was but now I know that they're not like that. They've gone by the core value of the reason when I set it up, and they've gone by their mission statement. And I thought, wow, Tommy, so many of us, were sitting there waiting for you to say, I knew you would. You know what, Dave? I knew Tommy would. I knew you'd come, good brother. I knew you would, and all your EDL brothers and sisters out there. I told you, Dave told you. I said this a while ago. What he said wasn't how it was. Now you know he had to go. He had to go because his family. The grey suits had told him it was the grey suits.
Sure.
That's why. Mm-hmm. You want to say to him about that was the case behind it. And
what we call the men in black here in the States. Yeah. Yeah. What we call the men in black here in the States, Jeff. Yeah. The spooks. The guys from MI5, CIA.
All you've done this evening. Thanks for my great birthday,
yeah.
Joe. I've still got red thinking about it. What you like, Dave? That's brilliant, mate.
Well, Jeff, I just hope you had a happy birthday.
Dave.
Yeah, well, Jeff, I just hope that you had a happy birthday, and I want to tell people, everybody, look for me as UBG Contact on Twitter, still there for now, or as Dave Milner or Agador, AGGEDOR on Trump Town or Mumble It, the Tea Party community, when that's working, Spreely, Minds, MeWe, and I'm always Agador on Gab. And please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page. That's at Spreaker.com. That's under SHR Media. And I'm also on the Western Free Radio Network, and I'm at the SHR Media YouTube page. And, Jeff, I just want to say to the foot soldiers, the angels, the yellow vests out there, the Brexiteers, and all of the patriots, everyone out there being persecuted but still doing what's right, still hitting the lid for what's right, just like John Wayne said, be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender. Back to you, my brother. Happy birthday.
No surrender ever, Dave. And we're down to the last 3.5 minutes of the show. Once again, thanks, Dave, for the great slides, script this evening. I had some surprises there, brilliant stuff. But we'll see you again this Thursday. So for myself and Dave and from Jan and from the team, with everybody associated with the EDL radio show and the organisation. Don't forget, guys, if you go into the website, www.englishdefenceleague.org.uk, you've got a donate page. If you can, put in anything you can. Doesn't matter. Pound, £2, £3, whatever. Just it helps the cause, brothers and sisters out there. So with that, for myself and Dave, we'll see you again this Thursday. No surrender. And be vigilant. Please be vigilant out there, guys. With that, we're going underground. Good night, all. Good night, y'all.
Good night,
Jeff.
Good night, Jeff. People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade, and I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course I don't mind. My nuclear test was far from its prime. Then the public gets what the public wants, but I want nothing. You're out to hate me, I've been up already on my feet. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through the fact. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and the place you trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
By about 5 seconds there. So there you go. But anyway, guys, as I say, we'll be back again this Thursday with another show. I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. Myself and Dave, it's always a joy to present these shows. Sometimes I know I get wound up, and I know there's things out there that I do get rather angry about. And blame me, guys. If you see it, my position, if you see it, you would say exactly the same what we talked about tonight. Anyway, I've got to thank you all for listening to the show. As you do on the podcast and all that, you can always catch us on the website, the www.englishdefenceleague.org.uk, and you know the radio show is there. If you look down the page, you always find our latest show on there. So. And then you can find us in different other ways and means. You know, there's, just Google us, check us out. You know, you'll find us. But anyway, I say, let's go, thank you all so much. Because, you know, if there wasn't you, there wouldn't be us. That's why we do what we do, because we know there's a you out there. And you're listening in. You want to know what's going on, and we want you to know, with the best information that we had, that we will pass to you. And it ain't spun, and it's not lies, it's the truth. You come to this radio show, you hear the truth. As graphic as it can be sometimes, and me having a rant about it, but we tell the truth. The others, the mainstream media, lie and bullshit you. That's something we assure you and promise you that will never happen with this radio show. Once again, myself, Dave, and our Jan, who's out there doing her thing. God bless you, Jan. No surrender. No surrender, ever. With that, the English Defence League radio show is now signing off for tonight. But we'll see you again this Thursday. No surrender, ever. And please be vigilant out there. Okay, please be vigilant. Good night, everybody.